Well, I guess this is it, right? It's my first attempt at a podcast. Lots of nothing to talk about. I can't do like 2 or 3 hours, really. That's how long we can do, like a half hour. But big shout out to GW Foley, because he was the one who kind of inspired me to do this, because he has a podcast, Foley Kills, on Mixkill Media, which is on either iTunes or TuneIn Radio. I figured I'd do this. I can't get out to open mics as much, so I have a few things to talk about. I did, I had two really good shows last week. I did Blue, that was Monday night, and that was great. Aaron Willows runs that room. And then I did Lincoln's, which was the first time I'd been to Lincoln's since the previous June. So it's been like 9 months since I've been to Lincoln's, and both times were great. I would say about 100% of the time I've been to Lincoln's, it's been great. About 100%. So it was great. But it was good to have Blue and Lincoln's in the same week, so I could see Aaron be disappointed in me twice within a week. And that's a first for me. I just had Bolfini's last night. And Bolfini's is always, you never know what to expect there. This time it was all right. I mean, there were decent amount of comics there, and there was some good laughs. It wasn't a big crowd, but it was still like, there's a good amount of people there. The comics here actually laugh at each other. I don't know if that's a normal thing if you go elsewhere, but like, you go to an open mic and comics will still laugh at your jokes, but not like New York or Boston. But I don't know. I mean, it was mostly comics in the crowd, and yeah, it was great. It was, I tried to do some new stuff though. And, I mean, that didn't go over so well. I kind of feel like, cause I'd done the jokes. They weren't, one of them was new. The others were totally like, I'd done them once, so they weren't totally new. So I didn't do so well with any of them really. I don't know. I just feel like I'm at 15 minutes. I think that's going to be all my material. That's it. I'm done after that, you know? That was kind of sobering. And I don't know. So that's why I'm doing this. Hopefully I can get more material. But I don't know. It doesn't seem... like it'll help. I think drugs will help. Drugs would help a lot, actually, if I, I think drugs would help. I had a day today where I went to work and I took an early quit. I left at like 9:30. I mean, it was a fucking bad day. Like yesterday, my day was pretty shitty and it wasn't, I want to say it wasn't anything new. I mean, it kind of was. I mean, I was in a really, really shitty mood. And at the end of the day, I felt so drained and just so fucking, you know, it was just like this. Everything was, I almost felt like it was like everything was fake. You know what I mean? Like I was not dreaming, but it was, I was so in such a depressive state that it was, yeah, I was numb and in like a really severe brain fog. And yeah, it was bad. I don't know. And then it just carried over into today, and I was pretty much just like, fuck this, I'm gonna go home. Even though it's like I needed to stay to get the hours, but it was it just wasn't going to happen. If it was going to happen, I wasn't going to stay for long. I was just going to, I don't know. There's times when you fantasize about shooting the place and you're like, that would actually be a good way to go. That's one of those times. Fucking hate work. A lot of people say they hate work, but I actually do hate work. Like a lot. I don't know. People say they hate work. I don't want to go into work today. It's so boring. And blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, it's boring, but do you hate it? Yeah, absolutely, I hate it. I don't feel the fucking hate. I don't feel the hate because whenever I talk about work, I feel the fucking hate. I feel it well up inside me, and I just start, like, I need a stress ball. I need to start squeezing a stress ball. So every time I think of work, I don't even think it's my job. Like, this is a normal thing. Is there a thing, is it a disorder to hate work? Because I think it is. Because it's so uncommon. Everyone says they hate their job, they hate to go to work, but they don't. They really don't. If you hated work, like you say you do, it would make you so horribly depressed. You would not be able to function. You'd be like me. You'd be like going into work and for 2 or 3 hours and be like, fuck this. I can't take this. I'm going to kill everyone if I don't leave. That's hating work. You don't hate your job if you go in and it just makes you, well, this Kathy's there and she's always bitching, blah, blah. I can't take it. She's just, that's a policy. You don't hate work if those just irritate you. You hate work when you want to burn the place down. That's what I'm getting at. And I hate my job and I hate my life, but I really hate my job. And it's always been like that. I don't know. So that's why I think it's maybe a disorder to say you hate your job that much. Your job literally makes you depressed. Your job is such a downer that you fantasize about driving away, like shooting everyone up, leaving no evidence, and driving to Los Angeles. Maybe that's a little too specific, but I'm not saying that if someone shoots up their job that I advocate it, but I am saying that I get it. I'm not going to shoot up my work. It's not that bad, but it is. It really does put me in a really dark place that I don't want to be in. It's the worst. It really does. It eats away at my soul little by little. And I have a theory. I think that if you say that's our policy or that's the rule, or I guess that's just how it is, you die on the inside a little bit. That's just how it is, you know? You just, this goes part of my soul. Pretty certain that's what it is. That's why I'm so dead on the inside. That was how I was raised. God wants you to be as miserable as possible for as long as possible, but you can't kill yourself. You can't kill yourself. That is a no-no. That's bad. Don't kill yourself. But God wants you to be miserable. It's amazing. It's like I was part of Opus Dei growing up. Can't believe it. Yeah, last night I did a joke about how I hate suicide bombers because it's just such an instant gratification, you know? And people shooting up places because they all do it in one thing. It's like, don't kill 30 people in like an hour shootout or like one bombing. You got to kill 30 people over 15 years. And you got to keep all your neighbors guessing. And so you keep it on your toes. But it didn't come out very well. And I mean, I guess that was it. That was a majority of what I was saying. with that joke. But then there was another joke I did that I wanted to do that really didn't come out, about the how about that, the cash me outside fucking waste of life. And I hate to give her the press, but it's all over everywhere, and I feel like I got to say something about it. And I was thinking, like, this girl is mentally challenged. I mean, like, this girl, she goes on a show with her mother, and I don't know much of the background. I guess the mother cut the father out of the life or something. I don't know. I don't know the whole story. But this girl is 13 years old, and she's, like, smoking, and she's out on the streets, you know what I mean? You know, she's out on the streets. She thinks she's gangster. She's white as fuck, like, whiter than I am, right? She's white as fuck out on... This is how we talk on the streets, you know? It's how we talk on the streets. So, basically, she's like a lot of Mainers, smoking at 13 and doing chew and... blowing dudes twice her age, but she's in the middle of the city, and I guess that poses more of a danger. I don't know. I just think she's a waste of life. And she goes on Dr. Phil, and she does this thing where he's trying to mediate. Now, how does that make you feel? You know, just mediating between her and her mother. And her mother's not white trash. Her mother's like, I don't know what happened to her. She just started talking like that one day, and it's just been like that ever since. But, like, the thing is, that's like someone, and I was batting this around. I didn't even get to this segment of the joke. I just scrapped it. But, like, that's like seeing someone go on TV. Like, say it's a 14-year-old fatty McFat kid. Like, really fat. Like, triple chin, and he can't get up. He's on there, and he has, like, severe diabetes. He's, like, got a foot removed. So he's got a prosthetic foot, and his mother's there, and his mother's normal. Like, I don't know, he just eats all the time. I don't know what's wrong with him. He just eats every day. And then Dr. Phil is trying to mediate everything. Like, well, Timothy, how does it make you feel when your mother says you eat too much? And he goes... yeah, man, you know, these fucking bitches be tripping, man. You know what I'm saying? And then like 3 months later, you're like, dude, you remember that fat kid, the bitches be tripping kid that was on Dr. Phil? Yeah, he's got his own TV show on the Food Network and a record deal. Like, God, what the fuck? What is wrong with us? Like, how is that a thing? How? And furthermore, like, yeah, I mean, there might be some fucking awful... talent agent, if they could call themselves that, like some awful talent agent out there that books these people that says, hey, this guy was like famous. He was in all memes and shit. They had bitches be tripping fucking memes all over the internet. I think there's a gold mine here. And I'm sorry to say there is not. But there must be a gold mine here. I don't know, man. I think if I get this guy signed to a record deal, you know, something could happen. You know, he might sell lots of... Who the fuck thinks that? How terrible is your fucking business sense that you think that kid's going to sell albums? How do you think that fucking stupid piece of shit. And that's another thing I wanted to get into. Okay, you're stupid. But she's also, like, mentally challenged. That girl has legitimate problems. But the thing is, she has legitimate problems, but there's a fine line between you need help and you're a total fuck up. And I think she's flirting with it. And I think that... It doesn't sit right with me on many levels. Why would you have someone do that? Like, why would you have someone, oh man, this is great. This is good business sense. Let's get through. A TV show I could see because, you know, it came from TV and, you know, it started on TV and I could see someone being like, oh, this is entertaining. I watched Dr. Phil. Now I'm going to watch Cash Me Outside. Life in the hood. Well, it means life in the hood. Life in the hood. How we talk, you know? You gotta have subtitles for your life. You really need to pick up a fucking Hooked on Phonics book. I try not to judge, but, like, come on. I mean, It's a level of idiocy that's being celebrated in this. I don't even say this country. I mean, it's mostly this country, but it's probably all over the world. Probably a little bit in UK. I'm sure the UK has their equivalent. Like, oh, Timothy, it appears your mother caught you fucking a sheep. Well, what do you say to that? That was more New Zealand, but you get the idea. I don't know. And then that kid gets his own show and record deal. Just, I don't know. But that proves that there isn't much talent in rap anymore. If that, I mean, if that girl can literally get a record deal and did not exhibit any musical talent, where are we in the field of music? Like, how is that okay? That you have no musical talent. You didn't exhibit any musical talent. She's not Beethoven. Like, come on. She's not a modern day Tchaikovsky. She's not even close. All right. So she, like, didn't exhibit any musical talent. Didn't even make a remix of Cash Me Outside. How about that, huh? How about that? They didn't even make a remix of that. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's just not right. Like, you could just slap an auto tuner on her voice. And that's it. Slap an auto tuner, put a beat behind it. And suddenly you're the next sensation. You're the next. I once saw this thing that was, it was a meme. Obviously, I hate memes. Memes are what happens when you can't articulate your own argument. So you make memes, or you, someone else makes memes and you're like, oh, this shares my beliefs, and you share it. But there was this meme, and it was Kanye being compared, and my temperature's rising right now, to Freddie Mercury. Nobody should be compared to Freddie Mercury. Fucking ever. End of discussion. There's no argument. That's Freddie fucking Mercury. Whether he was still alive or not, it doesn't matter. Because there's always that, there's that cliche that when you die, you become more pertinent in your field. And many times it's true, but if Freddie was still alive, it wouldn't matter. He would still be the best vocalist alive. Kanye, who, I hate Kanye, but I'm not going to say he's totally fucking talentless, because he's, I guess, a good producer. I don't fucking know. But if he's a good producer, right, fine. And I guess he's very good with words. Now, they had this meme that was comparing Kanye West to Freddie Mercury, which should not ever happen, but it had this big thing that was like some big poetic thing that Kanye West wrote. And then on the other side is Freddie Mercury, and it said, bicycle, bicycle, I want to ride my bike, from Bicycle Race. Like, that's somehow equal. That's somehow saying that that is better than bicycle. Because Kanye can't play piano like Freddie. He certainly can't fucking sing like Freddie. How can you compare the two? And there are other times when Freddie did exercise his lyrics. I mean, he was more about the notes and the singing and the music than he was the words. Like, he wasn't complete and utter poetry. I mean, rock and roll usually doesn't have that. It has kind of its own downplayed kind of poetry. But usually if you read rock and roll lyrics, even Queen, like, it's nothing that's going to make your head spin. It's not Poe. It's not Thoreau or Longfellow. Like, it's not like that. But there's more to rock and roll, obviously, than fucking electronic beats and MIDI. I studied audio engineering. I know this shit is fake. Like, I've gotten into arguments with people about auto tuners. Like, oh, Lil Wayne doesn't use an auto tuner. And I say, are you fucking high? That guy is an auto tuner. There's like, that guy is so shitty. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a voice box. I think they just like surgically implanted an auto tuner into his fucking voice because he sucks that bad. And I can actually hear, even on some metal albums, and I'm a huge metalhead. There's a band called Black Crown Initiate, and I love Black Crown Initiate, but as someone who is trained in audio engineering, I'm pretty certain that when I hear, unless it's one of the more simple lines, when the guy tends to make his voice go a little higher in the higher registers, I can hear an auto tuner kicking in. I can hear it bending the notes back into place. I can hear that. And I don't know. It's just kind of sucks. Like, it's like cheating in a way. In a way, I get, like, you don't want it to be really rough and you're not a very good vocalist, so the interest of time and money, like, bend the notes back. But you should at least be a little closer. I don't know. That's just my two cents of that. Anyway, yeah, that's fucking 20 minutes of shit that I was just rambling. I had a point to this, and I don't remember what it was, and I suppose I should have segments. I guess, all right, a little bit about me. I'm pretty angry. We probably figured that out. I do comedy in Maine, which you probably know, because I imagine where this is the first podcast, I don't have like a massive following of fans. So this is probably like, if you're listening to this, you know me personally. So, yeah, there's that. So I shouldn't have to explain who I am. This is just me. I'm me. I'm pretty angry. I do comedy. I'm in Maine and stuff. I live in Biddeford. Biddeford is becoming a good town, actually, in some ways. Like, still a bunch of white trash and rich people. Like, there's no... The economic span in Biddeford is kind of... You got, like, me, who I work, and I'm probably, like, a little bit of the population. And my downstairs neighbor, he works a lot, like everyone in this building. It's not a ghetto. But, like, my old neighbors, when I lived on King Street in Biddeford, crack den, right? Poverty-stricken bed bugs, like colonies of bed bugs. I mean, because our building, our building that we lived in, me and Kyle and me, the building that we lived in had bed bugs at one point, but not when we lived there. We didn't have any problems. But like, the neighbors definitely, we looked at that place, they had fucking bed bugs, because when someone would move out, we'd find a new mattress stuck behind our building, because there was no fence between our yard and their yard. People would walk through all the time. Like when I was walking my dog at night, like, that was a good idea for them to just walk through our backyard and fucking walk through the neighbor's backyard on the street up the hill, like, just walk past their fucking building. Like, I don't know. But anyway, we're pretty sure that they had bed bugs, because that whole street just looked like a giant bed bug nest. And I was always like, it wasn't a question of whether or not you had bed bugs on King Street. It was a question of how many bed bugs did you have? Did you have like a couple bites here and there? Or did you have like a little city in your bedroom? And they actually have their own economy and help pay the rent. Like, that's what I imagine the neighbors would be like. Hell. I suppose I should have started with an introduction, but I didn't. But don't email me bitching about the Cash Me Outside girl or Lil Wayne or Kanye West or anything besides praise for Freddie Mercury. Or I will come find you. I will hunt you down. And I will make you listen to every Queen album ever. Okay? And also, don't email me unless you have mushrooms. Thank you. That's today's show. Peace out.